Would you like to be able to start conversations like a pro? Take the Sunday World, your daily dose of what's going on. Do not consume the Sunday World if you're involved in a drug cartel, you're a politician with something to hide, or you've appeared on a reality TV show and care about others' opinions. Consume the Sunday World responsibly. Always read the stories, gossip, and commentary.
Wow, buddy! You look healthy and happy.
Veterinary surgeon and natural pet food pioneer John Burns knows the positive impact a natural diet has on our beloved pets. That's why he developed Burns Pet Nutrition.
Maybe I should try some of your pet food myself. Okay. I'll start with a salad.
For natural, no nasty, wholesome recipes, choose Burns Pet Nutrition. Available from veterinary clinics and all good pet shops across Ireland.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
There was reports about how she was inside the door in the pub and this man, according to witnesses, seemed to come in and just randomly attack her. Obviously, he was on to her, but attacked her out of nowhere. She suffered fatal injuries and then the police were unable to apprehend him, so they had to taser him. He had also turned a knife on himself. There's reports that he had two knives, a knife in both hands as well.
I'm Nicola Tallant, and you're listening to Crime World, a podcast about criminals, drugs, and the sins of the underworld in Ireland and across the globe. The boyfriend of an Irish woman stabbed to death in a New York bar has now been charged with her murder. As friends and family were told of the horrific stabbing of Sarah McNally, who's just 41, her partner was being treated in hospital. Now he's facing court accused of the fatal attack. Today, we're talking with Sunday World news editor Emer Rabbit about the details that we know so far. This is Crime World, a podcast from sundayworld.com. This is a terrible tragedy in New York. Sarah McNally, only 41, from County Longford, was stabbed to death in a bar.
Yes. So on Saturday evening around 6:30 p.m. American time, emergency services were called to a bar in Queens. It was called the Cayley House, an Irish bar there. And they found Sarah with serious stab wounds to her neck and a male attacker who had stab wounds, I think it was to his back and neck. They were both brought to hospital, but Sarah was pronounced dead very quickly. And then it has since emerged now that man in custody, he's in custody, but he's also in hospital being treated. Yeah. We have reports today that it is her boyfriend, and he's also suffered serious wounds. There was reports about how she was inside the door in the pub and this man, according to witnesses, seemed to come in and just randomly attack her. Obviously, yeah, he was known to her, but attacked her out of nowhere, and she suffered fatal injuries. And then the police were unable to apprehend him, so they had to taser him. He had also turned a knife on himself. There's reports that he had two knives, a knife in both hands as well.
So terrifying.
So really terrifying, yeah. Absolutely terrifying, because obviously it was a busy bar. She was very well known, very
well
liked.
And it must have happened really quickly that there was people there that they didn't get the chance to kind of tussle with him or whatever.
Exactly.
I'm sure that'll all come out. But
that, exactly. And I suppose that's what, you know, obviously led to the theory, or led police to deduce that it was somebody known to her, because he seemed to zone in on her straight away. It was a busy bar. I suppose it is unusual for these kind of incidents where women are known to their attackers for it to happen in such a public place like this. But according to witnesses and according to police sources from US publications, that seems to be the case.
So were they living together, yourself and her both partner?
Yeah, according to reports, she has been living in New York for the last 10 years. Mm-hmm. So a long time. Some friends didn't seem to know that much of him, but according to reports, they had been living together for a few months. But there's different reports about whether there was any violence in his past, but according to reports, there doesn't seem to have been any issues that it was known of a domestic nature between them before now. What we could see was that they've been living together for a number of months, but we did see other reports, and not all friends were aware of the relationship. So I'm not sure how long it happened. ongoing or anything like that. But he was known to her anyway. The police are happy with that.
Is it easy to get stuff from the States, like when you're, you know, you're dealing with a story like this breaking on a Sunday? What time was that, our time?
Well, it would have been close to midnight.
It really broke on Sunday.
Sunday, really.
Early Sunday on airtime, yeah. I don't think it is. I suppose that the information seems to, the way the media is there, it's not as, it seems to come out quicker there.
It can be very graphic.
Yeah, and very graphic, yeah. And in terms of, you know, identifying suspects and all that, that seems to happen quite quickly over there. Obviously, the New York Post are reporting a lot of it as well from police sources and stuff. But in terms of...
And they'd be a reliable publication,
you know,
obviously.
Very reliable publication. And then because she was very well known, she does seem to have made a new life for herself in New York in the last 10 years. But there was a lot of, you know, Longford politicians who spoke on RT News. There was Longford TD who told how... Sarah's mother was on her way on Sunday, an awful journey for any parent to have to make. So she was very well known in her area because she worked in hospitality. She was very well known in Longford, having worked in bars. I think she had a civilian role in the Irish Prison Service before as well. So even though it did happen over there, I suppose there was a lot of news coming out from this side just about the kind of person she was and how shocking it was as well.
Like it sort of adds an extra layer to any of these things when people have to, families have to travel, and they're kind of like the thoughts of doing that transatlantic flight with that waiting for you at the other end of it. Now, obviously, New York would be a friendly place for Irish to to come, and there'll be great support for them and all the rest of it. But it just definitely adds another layer of trauma. And then as the investigation continues, then they probably have to bring the remains back to Ireland, and that can take a long time as well.
Well, this is it, and we don't know the condition. There's been various reports that he was in critical condition, but his injuries aren't life-threatening, so obviously the police are waiting for that situation to play out before they can put charges to him. So I don't know how that impacts. Obviously, you know, there'll have to be a post-mortem done on Sarah's body, and, you know, travel arrangements. I don't know how that will, you know, I assume that will have an impact on that. So yeah, it's completely awful. It's just a living nightmare for her family. And obviously, yeah, bringing her body back, it just adds an extra layer of agony and confusion, I'd imagine.
You were saying it was kind of similar to...
No, because, I mean, just the exact situation you've described there.
Yeah.
I spoke to the family of Denise Morgan, which was only in October. Like some very similar circumstances. Denise was 39, and she was living in New York and working in a bar in Queens. And she was actually shot in her home by her American boyfriend in October. And he was eventually found dead beside his weapon, rather than get into the specifics of how he died. But I mean, they spoke to me, the two sisters spoke in the aftermath, Lisa and Shannon, you know, like just the of getting that phone call, then trying to make all those arrangements, which are almost like they're really difficult for people to do at home, but then to not understand all of, you know, who to contact. Also,
it's
like
charity, I think it's certainly
the Kevin Bell
repatriation fund. They just helped somebody I know recently who also died in tragic circumstances in New York, but to help the family get the body back.
They're a remarkable actual organization because it's not something you'd normally think of, but they do provide funding for people who die, but they also help them with the practical arrangements. Like in the case of Denise Morgan, she was shot dead by her boyfriend.
And did the family know him?
But they had met him over the years.
So far away,
the sisters had gone over to her a couple of times over the years. Joe Taveras was his name. And like in the aftermath, he obviously died as well during the incident, and he kind of got this he was a former US soldier, and he got this kind of glowing memorial about all his good work and all of that. And they found that really, really difficult. That it was obviously put down to mental health and that sort of issue. But they had spoken about how he'd been one of these really, really controlling people with her, always following her. He'd actually constantly been accusing her of cheating, you know, domestic violence occurring, and she'd ultimately found out that he was cheating her at the time and had signed a lease to move to a new apartment. She had a young child with a previous partner, and at that point that seems to have stamped him, and he killed her, you know. So it's just, look, it's,
that was a build up and of course firearms much easier to get your hands on over there than here. This is a newer relationship. I certainly have contact with one friend of hers who said they didn't really know him from here. They hadn't had a chance to meet him yet.
Yeah, and that seems to be reports similar to that in America as well. And there hadn't been, there was talk that there hadn't been any knowledge of incidents of domestic nature between the two of them. So it obviously, we don't know, you never know what goes on behind closed doors, but that seems to be the case. But the outpouring of grief over there is extraordinary, just from watching CNN. And, you know, there was people interviewed outside the pub, and she seems to, I don't think she's been working in that particular pub an extremely long time, but she seems to have been really, really well gotten by the patrons and by her fellow staff members. And there was
big Irish community,
big Irish community, but people referring to her being such a good friend and such a good person. And yeah, there wasn't a lot of commentary about the relationship, which would lead us to believe that it was new. But I suppose that, unfortunately, in these kind of instances, it always does tend to, not always, but there tends to be a link there when it is somebody known to them, to a domestic relationship.
And sometimes they say when, like, those relationships are coming to their end, somebody's trying to pull out of a relationship, that's a really dangerous time.
Exactly. And I mean, that like, tragically, like, you know, that certainly in Denise Morgan's case, and it seems in this case as well, both of them are kind of described as so real caring, nice, good people. Mm-hmm. And that can attract the sort of predatory bad person as well, man, into those relationships, you know.
Well, that's
there's so much of that mental health stuff out there, isn't there, involved in a lot of these cases of violence. But, you know, there's just so much of it that has been missed, or, you know, not treated, or there isn't the services there. Or,
yeah, but I mean, like, certainly in some of these cases, there's a dispute about, like, what is mental health in those circumstances, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, there's a lot of people that suffer from mental health in Ireland. I think they say 1 in 4 people get treated for mental health. I mean, very, very, very few of them ever go on to commit a violent act in the course of suffering from that mental health. So is that, certainly Denise Morgan's family spoke in detail about that to me, saying that's not really an excuse.
He was a violent person,
a violent, controlling person, and his mental health may have not been great, but really that's nothing to do with anything. It's about coming across controlling people who won't let people get on with their lives. I mean, we don't know.
I sort of meant that not necessarily an excuse for it, but that there's a lot of untreated mental health out there that results in violence, and that we kind of, you see this sort of, this girl went to work for the day, and the next thing she's, you know, in the flash of violence, she's dead, and her family are left totally bereft. And
and that is unusual from cases we've reported on, for a domestic relationship, for the violence to be shown in that way. And sometimes you think, can somebody not be in a mental health crisis if they can walk into a pub and stab somebody in the neck? I do get Nana's point as well, that, you know, that shouldn't be an excuse for people, that some people just are violent. But yeah, it is a strange one. And even when I was reading stuff today, there's reports that there's no suggestion as to why he took these actions. But then you don't want to also, you know, think, oh, well, it has to be that he had some kind of episode, because maybe, you know, you don't want it to suggest that there
and
was something done.
And we'll probably never find out, because in the States, if he survives, and if you know, there's witnesses to the crime and all the rest of it,
but it is,
you kind of get put away for a long time.
It is, and it's a big debate though sometimes in how these things are reported on. And like, we're probably not work going into specific cases, but we've had a lot of these cases where maybe women have been killed by partners, let's put it that way. And you know, there's a debate between, is this person, you know, the victim. Victims' families sometimes feel that you know, the mental health card is not a sufficient explanation for what happened to them. Where other people, you know, we've seen people, you know, basically kill their families. And
but you look at, I've written a book on this.
You did, Nick.
Murder, Suicide, Familicide. I actually really strongly feel that the murder of a child is murder, and that you can't, we have in this society anyway, we tend to look on that as a tragedy.
And
it's a kind of a family thing and it's a tragedy. I don't agree with that at all. I mean, these are murders, and sometimes they're not even properly documented as murders, or certainly it doesn't feel that way when people are talking about them or in the narrative.
And it's not always men as well. Like,
I was going to say, you know, there's women, cases of women who've killed their children. There does tend to be a...
Very few women kill their partners.
You know, yeah, exactly. But there does tend, there's often a mental health element to that, and there's often a sympathetic view on that as well.
Yeah, well, women may sometimes get a more sympathetic hearing, but it's hard to understand how they should be reported. And sometimes, of course, there are organisations in this country that don't want these things reported on at all.
Exactly.
And that can also be a factor as well, that, you know, I mean, a degree of healthy debate about these, you know, what feeds into what is necessary in society. And there are organisations that seem to only want it to be discussed in a very minimal or particular way.
And then sometimes families can't cope with it as well, being discussed, and that, you know what I mean, somebody's tragedy, their murder, being part of fodder of conversation. Families are horrified by that.
And sometimes I think it doesn't get the right treatment in the media either. I don't know. And sometimes I wonder, or just in the public in general, is there this view of, well, how did they not know? How did they not get out? You know, because you have for example, the really random murders that thankfully are very rare. For example, Ashton Murphy or Sarah Everard in the UK, which was just triggered an absolute outpouring of public shock and horror. But then when you look at it, we did a story at the weekend about how there was 15,000 instances of domestic violence reported to Gardaí, Specialist Gardaí in 2023, just in Dublin. You know, so that is the crux of where women are being targeted. It's their domestic instance. They are very rarely random attacks, and you just think, you know,
there can be a hysteria when there is one of those very, very tragic random attacks, and
exactly,
people feel it could happen to me, but the chances of that are so slim compared to the chance of that domestic violence happening in your own household.
And I mean, a lot of these particularly violent incidents are sparked by the fact that the relationship has come to an end and that control has been lost, and the only way to reassert that control is through this sort of really extreme act of violence, you know?
Well, we'd like to kind of follow this as well, and maybe with some, we'll keep an eye for any, you know, friends or family who have anything to say about Sarah, about her background, about, you know, what sort of a person she was, just to keep her actual memory alive in other ways than this one incident which ended her life.
Yeah, well, there's been like family members speaking, and there's been even a colleague that we work with went to school with her and was just talking about how such a wonderful person, even at that age, always friendly, you know, was very involved in sports in school. So, you know, just a normal, nice girl. And there seems to be particularly warm outpouring of emotion towards it, and people are just shocked, but so I can imagine it's going to continue. And I think there's talk of a public commemoration of some sort in Longford this week as well, so we'll obviously keep an eye on that.
God love her and that family now, you know, and all they have ahead of them.
You've been listening to Crime World, a podcast from sundayworld.com, produced by Ian Mullaney and edited by me, Nicola Tallant. Research assistant is Claude Amini. If you like this show and love true crime, leave us a review. Or why not download the free sundayworld.com app for lots more stories.
Would you like to be able to start conversations like a pro? Take the Sunday World, your daily dose of what's going on. Do not consume the Sunday World if you're involved in a drug cartel, you're a politician with something to hide, or you've appeared on a reality TV show and care about others' opinions. Consume the Sunday World responsibly. Always read the stories, gossip, and commentary.